miss something? Catch up right here with Claire and Dane.
Dane, you and your fiance have been engaged for...
all of 2 months.
2 months.
Wait, August, September. I don't even know what date we got engaged. Not important, is it?
No, not really.
No, August, so... it happened between the 12th to the 18th,
yeah.
Because that's the week we're in Hawaii.
I know that mine was just before or after Valentine's, but I can't remember which way it was.
Yeah, so 2 months, if that. Not
okay,
even 2 months.
Okay, cool. Well, look, it's time for a counselling session.
Okay, bring in the couch!
Your face. What?
Yeah, what's going on? What do you mean?
How are you guys going as a couple?
Okay.
Okay. Good. Do you fight a lot?
No.
Maybe you should.
Oh, really? Oh, we have discussions. We don't really fight. We have discussions.
Do you argue, though?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, maybe you should, because there is new research out.
You know
we love a good study on this show.
We love a study on this show.
Couples who argue are often happier than those who never experience conflict.
Really?
Yes. I'm just trying to help your relationship
No,
here.
Thank you. No, I'll go home and start the big bunny. Don't you worry about that.
Look, it's not saying you need to start something
right,
ridiculous.
Okay.
Just a little squabbling every once in a while.
Oh, actually, there was a squabble.
There was.
I'll tell you afterwards what I was about.
Just not all there.
No, I can tell you now. Do I tell you now?
Sure.
So what happened was, so we got a bin in the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
And we put, what she does is put spare bags beneath the current bag that's being used. So when you take the one out to put in the bin, you just get the spare bag out from the bottom and put it
that
up and over.
That makes sense.
It does, except I just thought they were rubbish bags. So I put the bags in the bin and I tied up and threw it out.
Dane.
And she comes to put a new bag in and she goes, where are the bags gone? I said, they're in the bin. She goes, what about the two in the bottom of the bin? I was like, well, they were rubbish, weren't they? She's like, no, they're the spare bags for the bin. She had a little bit of a blow up. I was like, look, no big deal. Just water the kitchen, get another one, put it back in the bin. It's fine.
So when I first asked you that question,
oh, I lied.
Do you argue? Because that was like fast talk as well, so you know that you're passionate about it?
Yeah, because it's not a big deal.
Yeah, but it makes sense to have bins underneath the bag bin.
But did that discussion that her and I had, does that make our relationship stronger?
Well, yes, because it was an argument.
Why does it make it stronger?
Arguing about issues head on is the secret to happiness and long-lasting love, apparently. Relationship coach Sunday Gilchrist
says... Yeah, she's a big fan of the show.
And so believes regular arguments are actually good for our love life, from improving your bedroom life to boosting your confidence. And here are some of the reasons why bickering could be the best thing for us.
Rightio.
It relieves stress and anxiety. So if you're stressed about other things, it'll help you release that tension.
Because you get it off your chest, of course.
Boost confidence.
I don't know how, but okay.
Shows commitment.
Oh.
Strengthens couples.
Okay.
Stimulates the bedroom.
Yeah.
And improves health.
Who would have thought having a bit of a barney with your loved one would equal this?
When you say barney, I think of...
Big purple dinosaur? Or a big fight? What do you and fiancé Sandy reckon discuss most of all? You had a bit of a crack at him in the studio yesterday.
I did, didn't I?
He just turned and walked away, though.
Yeah, but this is the thing, right, is that we have a very different relationship.
What do you mean?
Outside of this office that people don't see.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine
we bicker, but purposely.
Okay.
So I'll call him all the names under the sun and he'll do the same thing back to me. But that's just our relationship.
Well, I was going to say, according to Sunday, you are on track for one hell of a fantastic marriage ride, aren't you? Claire, we know a lot's going on in the world and we're not sweeping that to the side to talk about this, because we know this is very trivial what we're about to speak about. But we think it's important to have a laugh at not only ourselves, but also it's good for the soul.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's always that situation where you go through life, you go to do something, you go shopping, you trip upstairs and you're like, that is a first world problem. Why can't I find a ripe avocado right now? All I want is a beautiful avocado salad, avocado on toast with a little poached egg. Can't because it's not ripe. Bang, first world problem.
Especially for millennials, apparently.
Exactly right. There's a brand new study.
Of course there is.
We love a study on this show.
We do.
Researchers work with a behavioural psychologist from Goldsmiths University and quiz thousands of 20-somethings about their first world problems. They then asked people in their 50s what their biggest worries were 20 years ago, and then they compared the two sets of results.
Go.
All right, so here are some of the big ones from 1997, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the 50-something. So first world problems back in 1997, the top five. When you got your photos developed and most of them were overexposed, no one gets their photos developed anymore.
No.
Saving for your first home, impossible to do in this day and age. Whether you could afford a holiday. Number two, earning enough to pay rent and bills. And number one, having a happy relationship. Now, they're according to the First World Problems back in 1997.
I think we've got some more trivial ones since then.
Oh, my God, Claire. You have no idea. Where you are in your life and world right now, what is the biggest First World problem you face, do you think? You personally, what's one of the bigger ones? You just go, oh, like, we talk about internet speeds a lot here.
Yeah, internet speed, definitely. Another First World problem would have to be when things just don't work with technology.
Oh, yeah, and you're like, come on.
Like, you got to wait the extra 5 minutes for something to download.
Exactly right. Now, believe it or not, number 14. This is the top 20 First World problems of 2017. I'll highlight a couple before I get to the top five. Okay. Number 14 is when an avocado isn't ripe enough. Cop that. How's this for trivial? Realizing the milk has run out after boiling the kettle.
Although I have to say, I think you've done that once or twice here.
When someone puts an empty bottle back in the fridge.
Why do people do that?
First world problem. How's this one? Having to stand on public transport.
Yeah, see, in today's day and age, especially in the metro centres like Sydney and Melbourne and stuff, it's not like, you can't really help that.
Here are the top five, top 20 first world problems of 2017. This is off the back. Just remember, keeping in mind the top five of 1997 was like happy relationship, having enough money to pay for bills, and whether or not you can afford a holiday in your first home. Mm-hmm. Number five, the buffering sign when you're streaming something online.
How annoying is that?
Number four, no free Wi-Fi at a hotel.
Actually, yes, that gets me.
Number three, leaving your phone at home. We are so connected in this day and age. Number two, forgetting your login on passwords.
Okay, for me, first world problem, kind of like that one. I always use tap and go. When someone says, no, you can't use tap and go, you got to like actually put the card in. I'm like, oh no.
And
real first world problem there.
Cassie Sainsbury's got the same issue because she can't unlock her phone. And the number one first world problem of 2017, according to thousands of 20-something millennials, having to wait in the house all day for a delivery because there isn't a specific time slot.
I hate that. One of my friends actually had that happen to her the other day. They normally drop it off in the morning and they hadn't yet, so she went to get lunch and they dropped it off.
13, 12, 16, what's the biggest first world problem you're facing today?
Right now. What is your biggest first world problem?
Jake, 13, 12, 16, what is the first world problem you are facing right now at this moment today?
When you home alone and going to sit on the toilet.
Yes.
And then you realise there's no toilet paper left.
Yes. First world problem. That is the worst.
Absolutely.
What's worse than that is actually...
Having gone to the toilet and then realising?
Yes. Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, plenty of times.
Mate, well, we applaud your first world problem.
That legit happened to me here yesterday. I had to use the disabled toilet because the females was busy. I'd sat down, I'd started to go. There was no toilet paper at all. Luckily, there was a whole box next to me. Otherwise, I would have had to have called in Nana Jude, pulled my dress down so she couldn't see anything. Oh.
Hey, thanks for your call, mate. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for that. It is pretty ordinary.
I hate it when there's no toilet paper.
And you don't want to do the whole, should I walk, get it from the toilet and walk to get some? Because I don't know what happens there.
Well, more than that, who actually looks to see if there's toilet paper before they sit down?
No one.
It should just be a given, right?
No one. Do you know what? Speaking along the same vein as this first world problem is when you're busting to go to the bathroom and you get to your door and you fumble your keys because you're you're like doing the, gotta hurry up, and you're like all nervous and stuff and you can't get the key in the door to unlock it to get inside to go to the bathroom. There's no toilet paper.
Hashtag first world problems. Dane, I am heading to an engagement party this weekend.
Great.
And look, I've got no issue with engagement parties, but these are Sam's friends.
Mm.
They are lovely. But... they are a little bit more upper class than I am.
Right.
So I don't know, A, what to wear, or B, what to get them. So currently, when it comes to presents, I am looking at getting them a bottle of wine that I had in my cupboard.
Right.
And buying a nice pine wood box from a shop that I can put the...
Right.
The bottle in.
Just out of curiosity, we're very lucky, Claire, here on this show that sometimes we get gifted someone. Is it safe to say that the wine that you'll be presenting to this couple,
there is a very high possibility that this wine was gifted to me. A very high possibility.
Not that we don't appreciate the gifts we get.
No,
given
not
the
at all. No, look, I'm not a big wine drinker,
so I end up
with a whole heap in my cupboard.
Yes.
I actually did a bit of a clean out not that long ago and took a whole heap to Mum's.
All right. So you're going to essentially give them a bottle of wine, jazz it up a little bit by putting it in a wooden case.
Yeah.
And is that
stick their names
it?
On it and stuff. That's it.
Okay.
It's a nice bottle of wine. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. What have they asked for? Do they have a register? Have they asked for gifts?
Okay, I've got the invite in front of me here. It's very basic, but they have a website, which I haven't been on yet.
Oh, what's the website?
To reply with. I'm not going to know.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to go onto it now. So, but
is it a gift registry website?
I don't think so. I think it's just because it says RSVP via this website.
Okay, right.
Right? And she's a graphic designer.
Oh, wow.
So, okay, here we go. It says home. All grown up is their big theme. Please join us for celebrating. It's not only engagement, birthdays.
Ah, interesting now, because you've only gotten the one gift of wine.
Do you have to get two gifts?
Well, are they both their birthdays or just one of their birthdays?
Both their birthdays.
Both their birthdays and their engagement party.
Yeah.
Can you combine gifts perhaps and put just everything on the one card and give them the wine?
Well, that's what I planned on doing.
I don't know if it's separate gifts or not.
But here, okay, it says the party, so it tells you where it's at. It says the party.
Where is it at?
I'm not saying. The party's at this event venue. There's light food and some drinks that'll be provided.
Right.
Dress code is smart casual.
Okay.
I don't know, smart
That's
casual.
It. See, the thing about it, okay, for a wedding, and we've discussed this on the show before, normally what you do is you give the bride and groom what you think the cost of the meal and the drinks would be. So for me and my girlfriend, it's normally about $100. We give $100, $150 depending
but
on.
That's for a wedding.
Yes.
This is just an engagement.
Exactly right.
Also with a birthday, but still, look, let's focus on the engagement part. Am I being stingy by just giving them, they don't need to know it's re-gifted, but just by giving them a bottle of wine in a nice little box with their names on it.
But what do you normally do for engagement parties?
I don't know.
See, KB and I, we've got an idea of what we'd like to get, but we don't quite know how to ask for it. And whether or not, do you give an engagement gift anymore? Is that a thing or is it the party
well,
enough?
See,
you know
I didn't
what I mean?
Even have an engagement party. I just had some family around. So I'm not sure. I've got another engagement party in 2 weeks.
Well, I'm only having one for the first time in November, so I don't know what the deal is either.
Yeah. 13, 12, 16. What's too stingy and what's just right for an engagement gift?
Well, do you even give an engagement gift anymore?
13, 12, 16, help us both out, please.
I hope the answer is yes to giving gifts because I can't wait to get some. Now, India, what do you do for like an engagement party gift situation?
Well, I got married in 2013 and for our engagement party, we actually did like no gifts whatsoever because everyone was sort of buying us something for the wedding. We thought, well, you know, it's a bit unfair to expect people to, you know, get us two type of gift. So, Claire, I think a bottle of wine, it sounds very fancy, so I think you're on the right track.
I'm trying to make it look as fancy as possible.
India, that wasn't the answer I was looking for because I love getting presents, so this is not a good sign early on.
Yes, well, it's not Christmas yet. Yesterday,
so. Next thing you know, he's going to be asking me for a TV for Christmas, India.
Oh, my God, no way.
But the thing is, right, there's a couple of things that both KB and I want. How do you go? So should we not ask for it or just, obviously we don't expect
what
anything.
What about putting it on the wedding registry instead?
Yeah, I was going to say, you do a registry if there's something specific you want. You just put it on a registry. But me, you know, like, I got married on bloody Pitt Lane. So it was,
right.
You know,
The thing is, I don't know what we're doing for a wedding. We might not a big wedding like that,
why not do an engagement / wedding registry?
There you go.
This is all getting way too complicated now. I just want presents.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for your help, India.
Honestly, yeah, Claire, I think the bottle of wine would be more than
suffice. Awesome.
Right. Tick that box. Thanks for your
help. Thanks, India.
No worries.
Bye.
See ya.
He's got a brand new book out called The Mysterious World of Constantino No. 1, The Missing Ace. He burst onto our TV screens with Australia's Got Talent back in 2011.
Jeez.
He is Australia's master illusionist, Constantino. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on again.
No problem at all.
We both love magic, so it's easy win to have you on the show, mate.
Thank you. It's very kind.
So, Cos, you've got all these new books out at the moment. Give us a little bit of an idea of what these books are about and how they came about.
It's a children's book for reluctant readers, 8 to 12. It's a a story about a little boy who discovers a magic book. He lives in a place called Magic Land. But in this particular story, in this land, magic's been banished by an evil king who's the King of Diamonds, a two-headed king who wants to keep magic for himself. So this little guy goes on adventures, basically giving magic back to the townspeople of Coppertown, with his best friend Lockie, who's a talking, walking padlock, and his other friend Professor Camouflage, who's a chameleon lizard. And they save a guy called Ace, which is why the book's called The Missing Ace, because he's part of the army of 52. There's 52 playing cards in a deck. And Ace leaves the king's army, and they're chasing him, trying to hunt him down. So that's where the story begins. But it all came about in about 2013. I wrote some ideas for characters, different characters based off magic. For example, a padlock, magic wands, playing cards, and then the worlds that they live in and what powers, superpowers they have and can't have.
That's awesome.
And it was just put down on paper, and I had some illustrations done. And many years later, back about 2-3 years later, I ran into the publishers at Scholastic.
Yeah.
And they were talking to me, and I said, I've got an idea for a book. And I basically just pitched them the idea. And they loved it and gave me a 4-book deal, put me together with Jack Heath, who's another author, best-selling author, and James Hart, who's an unbelievable illustrator. And together we created this book, which took 2 years.
Yeah, it's absolutely awesome, because the good thing about it, as you said, it's for tentative readers. Now, that's pretty close to you as well, isn't it? Like, because it's so important for kids to be able to read, but this is close to your heart as well when you were growing up.
Yeah, I was a kid who was very shy and introverted because I didn't learn to read until I was 12 years old, so super late learner. Of course, reading's linked to writing, spelling, speech. So I was I lacked all this confidence, but I came across a book in the library as a kid where I didn't want to be because I couldn't read.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at pictures in this book that were vaudevillian pictures of famous magicians like Houdini. And my mum's a school principal. She saw me looking at the book. She took his book home. She read it to me. And in the back, they had magic tricks. And I learned to read because she would read the tricks to me, and we would have to kind of break down the words and analyze it. So the story, as it kind of, it's paralleled with this little kid in the book, has his own magic spell book that he's not allowed to have, that he keeps under his bed. So it's kind of all, everything in these stories are kind of taken from bits and pieces of my life or what's happened to me, etc.
Oh, that's so cool,
that's
Cousin
awesome.
Tino. And of course, obviously, you're still very close to your heart. It's magic based, and because I follow you on Instagram, you've done huge tours over in Asia and that type of thing. When can we expect your next show here in Australia?
End of next year, I'm touring again with Live Nation, so I'll be touring around Australia. But I think it's been 3 years because I've been in Asia. Touring, I've been up in Singapore, but also filming my new TV shows for Sony AXN in Asia. So 4 new TV shows. They're made for Asia, basically.
Oh, wow.
Which is a huge market for us. It's very exciting.
And you'll have to bring it to Griffith when you come, please.
Absolutely,
bring it to,
please.
Now, last time I was there is 2008.
Well, it's been too long.
I was about to say it's been ages. Have to, for sure.
Yeah, you definitely need to come back. And Constantina, do you have any kind of behind the scenes stuff on any of your magic tricks that you can give us today?
Oh, behind, like how things are done?
Yeah.
What can I tell you? Let me see. It's a lot of hard work. And it all looks very easy. Now, and you know what's funny though? Because we go, I do certain things, like you might bump into people or you might be doing a like a television show. And because you make the magic look easy, which it should look easy, like it just happens, people expect you to just, you know, make things appear and disappear out of thin air. Now, of course, if that was really the case and I was able to do it that easily and quickly, I'd be in the Bahamas. It takes a lot of work to make it look effortless.
Fantastic book of the first book of the series, The Mysterious World of Constantino, number one, The Missing Ace, is in all good bookstores now. Make sure you check it out, mate. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Pleasure, guys. Really appreciate it.